ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto.
É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com a explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica. Até à morte.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. So a little bit of rotation here, Chris. And as we mentioned on the preview of the Eintracht game, you were unsure whether or not Benfica was going to be able to get a good result against Eintracht because of the lineup or the approach that Lage may have. Looking at this lineup, what was your first thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Benfica was resting a couple of guys too many, one too many guys. But, you know, fortunately enough, they turned around, they performed. Benfica had a spectacular performance. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to give you the privilege of breaking down the game. But the result turned out to be a lot better than I initially expected when I first looked at the lineup. As you know, you and many other people have reached out to me asking me my prediction ahead of the game. And I said, I really have to reserve my thoughts regarding this game because I don't know which way Bruno Lage is going to go. And he did rest a couple of key guys. But nonetheless, Benfica was worthy enough of an opponent to bring things and perform well enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it was the first 15 minutes, I would say, a pretty balanced game. But Ugo, after the red card that Eintracht picked up, and, you know, with reason, obviously, because there was a clear red card going down to 10 men and a subsequent penalty for Benfica, which Benfica ended up getting on the scoreboard. Now Benfica starts taking a little bit of the lead in this game.
We were just lucky that wasn't in the Liga NOS because they would have probably not even gone to VAR. But fortunately enough, it was in the Europa League. Go ahead, Dave. I mean,
yeah, no, for sure. I thought the penalty unlocked the game a bit for Benfica. I thought Benfica came out a bit shaky. The first 10 minutes pretty much belonged to Eintracht. And I thought they were, again, Eintracht's a dangerous opponent. They were moving the ball around very well. And then a little bit of Lage's magic, because Lage played João Félix and Jetson really close to one another in that game. He actually came out with no striker, which was a bit surprising. Altered the formation a bit, put Samaric in the midfield next to Feza. But, you know, so that goal actually came from a combination between Jetson and João Félix, and a clear penalty, clear red card. And then from that moment on, I was a bit disappointed with how we gave up a goal. Up a man. Feza can't give the ball away, yeah, away at that point of the game, but overall,
and it comes at a period where Eintracht is trying to react, right? With 10 men that we all know, and we've been around football long enough, that playing against 10 men isn't always going to be an advantage, and quite often the team that plays with 10 men seems to tend to organize themselves better and really make it competitive. And that's what Eintracht did. They were able to capitalize on that mistake, as you mentioned. But we shut down that pretty quick, with Félix getting a second goal right before the half. And I think that tampered off a little bit of what the momentum that Eintracht was building up. Chris?
Well, they looked for their important second away goal, and Benfica wasn't able to capitalize on a few chances they had to extend that lead and really eliminate this tie going into the second leg in Germany. I thought Sferovic had a perfect chance, a one-on-one with Kevin Trapp. And hey, look, whether you want to blame it on Sferovic, you want to put the pressure, or you want to say that Trapp did well enough to get his leg on the shot and deflect it to go wide. It is what it is, and those are the opportunities that a team must take advantage of when you're trying to kill off any opportunity going into the second leg. And Benfica wasn't able to do that. And credit to Frankfurt, which, you know, I don't like to give the opposition credit many times, but credit to them, they never gave up. And Gonzalo Paciencia, who came in, was able to get his head on the ball and place it opposite post and get the 4-2, get it to 4-2 and give themselves a shooting chance going back to Germany. And it was very, at that point, Alfredo, I have to be brutally honest with you, it was very deflating to give up that second goal. And it was kind of a negative feeling, to be brutally honest with you. But the more I thought about it as the time went on, I'd rather be on the end of a 4-2 victory than on the opposite end of a 2-4 defeat. Benfica played well enough. João Félix stepped up when just, I mean, if you guys recall last week, I was here on the podcast saying there's one Felix I thought would benefit from a day off. I thought he needed to get some minutes on the sidelines because it looked like his legs were getting tired, and he stepped up, scored his hat trick, became the youngest Portuguese player ever to score a hat trick in the European competition. I think not just the youngest Portuguese, but the youngest ever to score a hat trick in European competition. The kid stepped up and came to play. As many people have said before, you know, obviously news is out there that Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barcelona, everyone came out to see Jovic, and they all left impressed with my brother, João Félix, who had an exceptional game. And, you know, all when it's all said and done, Benfica takes a 4-2 lead into Germany, and hopefully they're able to hold on and capitalize on this magnificent victory at home and move on to the semifinals to face against Chelsea or what a Lokomotiv.
Braha.
Slava.
It was close. Lokomotiv, Slava. You guys understand how I get it mixed up.
And Ugo, quite a night for João Félix, right? He gets the hat trick, but also, you know, as Cristiano mentioned and David put on his stats, the youngest player ever to get a hat trick in competition, beating out Eusebio's record. But you get a hat trick, you get a sense that it's one of those games that everything is going well for you. And then when he scores that third goal, there's that the emotions finally come out.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it was a bit of silencing some of the critics that was coming out in the press. If you guys recall correctly, Lage in his post-game press conferences was already having to answer about João Félix being in best forma. So again, it was important for the kid to do it and to do it at that stage. As Chris alluded to earlier, there's tons of scouts, unfortunately for us or fortunately for us, however you want to look at that. For me, it's unfortunately, he was able to rise to the occasion and silence a lot of the critics that, obviously were stepping forward and, trying to get into his head.
Yeah. Look, at this point, if you don't have a folder on João Félix that's about an inch thick and you're watching him for the first time, you're late to the party. You're definitely not going to be one of the suitors that is going to beat that clause and take him away. So at this point, João Félix is not news to anybody. Nobody should be surprised by João Félix's talent, because the talent is there. Obviously, a European game in the quarterfinals of the Europa League, and you're able to score three goals and you have that dominant of performance, obviously that's something that a lot of people take note. But João Félix has arrived on the scene. He is here. Is it true you've given him some playing tips?
Look, that's between him and I, and I think we'd like to keep it on the Benfica podcast. We'll talk about it off air. But look, the kid doesn't need any tips from me. He's a fantastic player. He's made the most of his opportunity, and Bruno Lage has used them as smartly as anyone. He's given them as much leeway as there is. I think the one thing about Bruno Lage, and it's the one thing I've touted about Bruno Lage since he's been appointed the head coach of Benfica, is that he instills this confidence in every player, from a youngster in a João Félix to a Jetson to a Florentino to a Jonas to a veteran like Jonas.
Todos conto.
Exactly. Todos conto. But then again, look, I don't like to use that todos conto in Hugo, because our former coach used to say, o cavalo passa a porta de frente todos. And we saw that wasn't the case because Tarapto was outside with his cowboy boots on and his cowboy hat, and the horse never came through.
The camel, whichever way you want to look at it.
Pavaco, come on. Camels in Portugal, no alpa. Come on, Alfredo.
Ah, no, é lógico.
No, é lógico, mas não, mas no alá lá em Lisboa, pá. Vacas e cavalos, isso. But, but look, he's they've both worked fantastic off of one another. And I think it's been terrific to watch. But I've mentioned here on a handful of times that I had the privilege of speaking to a couple of Benfica guys.
This guy's
that,
always name dropping.
I'm not. I said I had the privilege. I'm not name dropping. I'm saying I spoke to a couple of people that know the insides of Benfica a lot better than I would ever anticipate. And so this is direct knowledge of what's going on. And so when I question the addition of João Félix and being promoted fully to the main squad, and then Jetson, and then you get to January and you get Florentino and you get Jota, and you start making all the Inferno, and you start asking all these questions, and the overwhelming response from those on the inside, I will not drop names, but from those, and I'm not making this up because obviously what I'm saying is correct. The overwhelming response from everyone was, Chris, these kids are prepped for this from the earliest stage possible at Benfica. So when a Florentino gets promoted to a Benfica, to the main squad, and he's playing in a team and he's making his debut as a starter and in Istanbul, to him, it's another day because he's playing with that added pressure every single day, whether it's at Benfica B or at Benfica U19. So to them, to these people, when I did mention these players, to them, it was like, bro, it's another day. It's another walk in the park. Where to myself, it was a surprise. And I'm being honest. I'm not, I know you're smiling at me. I'm not trying to be facetious here. I'm being honest. I was surprised, like, whoa, damn, yo, Florentino making his debut in Istanbul, and the kid looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Looks like he's comfortable. And like, Chris, why are you surprised? This is what Benfica preps these kids on a day-to-day basis for moments like this. So every moment on the B team, on the U19s, you whatever, you go down the line, they are prepped to when they get to the stage that it's just another day for them. It's not a deer in the headlights.
That's the importance of having a B team.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And
allowing these boys to play against men.
Yeah, and let's not forget also that Benfica has been to two UEFA Youth Champions League finals in the past 5 years, which is obviously the highest level of competition that you could have at the youth level. So these players have played in that stage, so they're used to that type of pressure. They're used to this type of competition. So as Cristiano mentioned, the transition is seamless.
It's seamless. It seems to them it's nothing new. It's like nothing changes on their day-to-day preparation. And we know that expectations are high as they move up the chain. We know that preparation and basically the walk up to the game, the lead up to the game is different. Hugo, you've been involved in this with Arsenal and other organizations. Our good friend Leroy Skater sitting here watching us. Alfredo, you've been privy to this as well. We see every team, every age level, every group has a different way of approaching things. And Benfica tries to keep that as close as possible from the main squad to the under 14s to the juniors, to because they want these kids to just move up the ladder and it all be seamless. It all be the same exact thing that they've been practicing.
Yeah.
Same thing they've been going through over the last 4 or 5 years. It's nothing new to them. What does Bruno Lage does? And again, it goes back to the question that we posed last week. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know how to gauge. I don't know how to guess. I don't know what Bruno Lage and the higher uppers, right, the guys in the suits, what decision they're going to make going into this game on Thursday.
Bruno Lage has mentioned, and I think that when people question him about the rotation of the squad, the explanation that he has for this, and he doesn't really consider it rotation. He considers that every player brings a different wrinkle to the game or a different skill set. And when he decides to put Florentino, or he decides to put Feisa instead of Florentino or Samaris, whoever, he feels that that's what the game asks for. So when people question about his rotation, it's not so much the rotation. He explains it as people, that's what the game asks for. He needs players with those traits and those skill sets, and that's what he's going to play with. If Eintracht scores two goals, they're through.
Yeah, I think the man that could play a pivotal role on Thursday, if he does get in the action, because he only came on in the second half as a substitute, is Pizzi, because he has that calming influence. He could calm the game down, settle it down. So I think it would be big to insert him in the lineup. But again, I don't know, to Chris's point earlier, I don't know what Lage is going to do as far as some of those guys.
Score one goal, do the opposite of what the hell you went into Stadio Alvalade a couple of weeks ago in the Taça de Portugal. You score one goal there, the tie is done. I hope Benfica does the same thing. Score a goal in Frankfurt. Hopefully Svetovic will want to come back and prove to his old fans.
Much like Jovic.
Absolutely. Much like Jovic. Come in and prove and that, look, he's not a mishap. It wasn't a shot in the dark, that he is a quality player. He scores a goal. Give Benfica the early breathing room. And I think, you know, it could be a very positive Thursday afternoon or evening, I should say. My man was like this. He looked like one.
100%. No, 100%.
No, you know what Ruben Michael reminded me of? A crossing guard at Oliver Street School when I was going to grammar school. He's like, oh, parai. That's what he looked like, yo. Don't.
No.
Bro, the guy had his arm up. I mean, it was clear as day.
Well, the Luge was quiet enough that he could have heard anything, right?
Don't even get us started on quietness at the Luge. Because we're not there, but there's been the biggest topic is the stadium culture at Stade de Luz, with people leaving early, with the PD lumps with the lights.
And you got to stay tuned to Time Added On for that, which will come out on Benfica Independent later on this week.
That was last week we talked about the stadium culture.
Well, we'll talk about it again because it's been an embarrassment. But look, as opposed to everyone else, I have a different opinion, and we'll talk about that later. So stay tuned. Check out Time Added On Time 8019 on Twitter, and we will give you the latest. You want to talk about the what do you call it? The Monku Master? Is that what you're talking about, Dave? The Monku Master, the guy looks like Eusebio against the Monku. And then when time is,
are you talking about the guy with 17 league assists?
Uribe's assists.
He's not
that guy. That guy. It's like, you
know about the Redus Frangos.
You know, No. I was going to give you one better. It's like, you ever driven to Barrada and they're all Redus Leitões? Tudo Redus Leitões. Aquilo é o Redus Leitões. We were there.
Penaltis todos falham, man.
Sim, mas ninguém tá
falando.
But dude, the fact is that he had a poor game. Then he wound up with a later assist and everybody's, oh, he's back. Look, Pizzi is a player that I believe Benfica needs. Benfica needs to count on, but he is a critical player for Benfica, but it does not shy away from the fact that a lot of times when you need him at the most crucial moment, he is gone missing.
And on tonight's agenda, we will look back, because we must, to the Eintracht game, second leg of Benfica's quarterfinals Europa League appearance. Let's get right into this Eintracht game. And hey, look, I'll just... And I know that Chris and Hugo definitely want to add something onto this, but let me just give you a little bit of perspective. I'll give you a little bit of a perspective on Benfica and Benfica in Europe. So for us, and all of us are immigrants that are out of the country. And in a country that we live, or countries that we live, both Canada and the U.S., where you get to meet people of all walks of life, of all nationalities, and there's a lot of things that we have in common. We have the love for football in common. So we always praise our club, and we always hope that our club does the best at the European stage. And that's because a lot of people look at the Portuguese league and say the Portuguese league is always a three-horse race or a two-horse race. So when we get a chance to be in Europe, we want our club to do well. All right. With that said, when Benfica has the performance that they did in Europe, and I'm not just talking about this past season, but also last season, where we had that shameful performance in a Champions League, it's something that the people that we interact on a day-to-day basis, that we profess our love to Benfica for, and our club in Portugal for, always get on our case, right? So what's the matter with your club? Your club can't defeat this team. Your club is shit in Europe, so on and so forth. So with that being said, Eintracht, right? So there's a lot of conversation. There's been a lot of conversation about what has Benfica given priority to. Has it been the league? Has it been Europe? Cristiano, I'll let you go first. I know that you have a very strong opinion about Benfica's participation in Europe, not only because of what I just explained, but there's a few other factors that you want to talk about.
Bro, I don't even know where to begin on Fredo. It's just very disappointing. Once again, to see Benfica bow out of a competition that I don't feel, and many of the people don't feel, that they put their best efforts into it. And I think that's the most aggravating part. You get knocked out when you give it your all, when you field your best 11, when you make the competition a priority, and you fall short, man. Like, you could applaud the gents, you applaud the guys, and move on to the next competition and hope to do well there. But when it feels, or it seems like that is not the case at the moment, that the club is not prioritizing these competitions like they should be. When you've been a long, you know, lifelong Benfica fan, and I was going to say suffering, but it's like that makes it sound domestic, but it's almost the same thing because you live with Benfica everywhere you go, so it is kind of a domestic. It's very hard. It's very hard to put up with this. You want the club again to represent themselves, and once again, I honestly cannot tell you with a straight face that Benfica once again got knocked out of a European competition with their best effort put forth.
And Hugo, a club of Benfica's history and world prestige, if you will, albeit some of that prestige coming in the 60s, 70s, and perhaps a little bit in the 80s also. Now we're looking at a Benfica that is probably an economy Benfica going into competitions like this with such a tight race in domestically.
Yeah, no, I think Chris pretty much summed it all, summed the way I feel. Again, to me, it's unacceptable, and it's the wrong strategy to approach. Again, a club of Benfica's dimension, as you mentioned before, the bread and butter is Europe. It's in Europe that you want to see Benfica perform. It's in Europe that you want to see Benfica play. I understand it's the Europa League, but realistically right now, unfortunately, that is probably the most realistic competition in Europe for us to win. And I think the fact that we brought a 2-goal lead to Frankfurt, I think majority of Benfica Nation was expecting us to progress. And then obviously once you're in the semifinal, anything could have happened. But to Chris's point, what aggravated me about that game was the lack of ambition, the lack of carácter, which is a word that we use strongly in Portugal.
We use it in English too. It's called character.
Character. Lack of character that the performance displayed was very discouraging. I expected myself, I'm not going to lie, a lot more from Frankfurt. If you look at it, even Frankfurt, they pretty much advanced going through the motions. And that's really what upset me. Yes, refereeing aside, look, Benfica once again was on the wrong end of an atrocious, atrocious call in Europe. And many people are calling for the VAR. That's a play that doesn't even need VAR. I mean, that linesman should be banned, plain and simple. And again, we're on the wrong end of a call like that in Europe, but that's still not excusable. We still had a good 50 minutes or so left in the eliminatoria, and we had we banged the goal, we would have been advancing. Again, it's just a lackadaisical performance. That's really the word I'm looking for, and it's just not acceptable for a club of Benfica's dimension. Look, and I don't know who it's coming from, if it's coming from Vieira, if it was Lage's decision. It's unacceptable, and the fan base, myself, we've had enough of this bullshit.
Look, I know. I tend to talk a lot here on the Benfica podcast, and a lot of times it's a lot of nonsense, a lot of noise. I understand that. But the thing that really pisses me off, and as I stated just a couple weeks ago, Alfredo and Dave, I'm not sure you were on, Hugo, but I'm pretty sure you listened to the podcast where I went off on a little rant, you know, that every time we get knocked out of a competition, it's okay because we got the Campeonato. And then we get knocked out of the Taça da Liga, it's okay because we got and then the Taça de Portugal, and everything is okay, everything is okay. And it seems like that is exigência, right, that perfection that we demand from our club, it seems like everyone is content with just competing for domestic titles. And lately, the fans, right, especially after Jorge Jesus, the fans have seemed to turn in favor of, not in favor, but become supporters of Made in Seychelles, Benfica producing hot young shots, hot prospects, selling them off to Europe and only competing for domestic competitions, which, I mean, to me, it leads me to believe that is, we're becoming Sporting. That's what Sporting has been, and that's what we've been laughing at for the last 30 years. That, you know, we're arguing about where our players are playing, how much they've been sold for. At the end of the day, we're not winning anything. I mean, we're competing for little domestic competition. Benfica, if you want to be a big shark, you want to be the big club that Luis Vieira keeps preaching about and every Benfica you meet, right? At least the old-timers keep preaching that Benfica is still a big club. You need to compete at the highest stage. Okay, Benfica today, like Hugo mentioned before, maybe maybe a competition like the Europa League today is more suitable for Benfica, because obviously the big differences in wages with the big sharks in the Champions League, I get it. But look, you need to crawl in order to walk. And I think Benfica, using these opportunities in these games, and you're a game away from appearing in another European Cup semifinal where anything could happen. And it just seemed like Benfica did not come into this game on Thursday with that attitude in mind. I thought, again, as Hugo mentioned, look, a good point. Benfica was, again, once again, unfortunately, Portuguese team was once again on the wrong end of a terrible, terrible mistake, a terrible call. And it's asinine to me how the Champions League has VAR, but the Europa League doesn't have VAR. It's the same competition run by UEFA. Look, that's another conversation for another day. It's just asinine. But I think Benfica opened the door by the way they came out, and it seemed like to me they were content with the two-goal lead, Alfredo, right? We're just going to sit back, and we're going to defend, and we're not really going to try to go forward that much. And if we hold on to a two-goal lead, great. If we don't, oh, well, who cares, because it's all about the Campeonato. And I think by doing that, not even attempting to come forward, I think that opened the door for these dumb mistakes by referees. I think if Benfica went in there and imposed their game, imposed their style of play, and try to play football that we've grown so accustomed to seeing under Bruno Lage, all that shit wouldn't have even been a topic.
Let's just put a bow on this European campaign by Benfica this season, and I'll ask you three guys this one question. And knowing what we know, and knowing what Benfica went through their season, and I'll start with you, Dave. And you could just a quick answer is fine. Do you feel that this European competition for Benfica was a success or was a disappointment?
Well, looking back at last year, it's a step in the right direction, that's for sure. But the way we dropped out, I think it left a lot of people wanting more. And it begs the question, what is this club's ambitions in Europe? Is it to actually go out and win a tournament like the Europa League, or is it to just go and showcase players and rotate the squad, get some minutes for guys that haven't been getting the minutes? To me personally, I wanted them to take this competition more seriously. Like we've mentioned, if we're going to be key on rotation, then use a team like Maritimo to rotate the squad. But
yeah, Cristiano,
It's all hearsay now.
Sorry, Cristiano, Dave, positive or disappointment?
Dave,
success or disappointment, I should
Dave,
say.
Dave, let me just – it didn't take much to improve on last year. I think showing up and not giving up a goal for 20 minutes was an improvement. I mean, let's be honest. It was an improvement based on what they did last – absolutely. They improved this season in the Champions League knockout stage, right? Or not knockout stage, I'm sorry, group stage. They actually got to punctuate this time as opposed to last season. So that was an improvement, but they still went home. Then they get knocked out to the secondary competition and with an opportunity to make it to another European semifinal.
Yeah, you went. Hugo.
Yeah, no, to Alfredo, to answer your question, to me it's a major disappointment. Again, we bowed out of the Champions League group stage the way we did. Yes, I understand Ajax is the Cinderella story of the competition, but if you guys recall correctly, and even recently, I believe De Ligt, their center back, said the same thing. He said our strongest opponent that we faced was Benfica. If you guys recall correctly,
Rui Vitória is Benfica.
If you guys recall correctly, in Amsterdam, I thought Benfica could have won the game, and then obviously in Lisbon, we were unfortunate not to win the game. So there's a sour taste there. You bow out of the Champions League group stage again, and then you get put into the Europa League. And again, for me, the minute you go into the Europa League, it has to be pedal to the metal. You have to want to win that competition. Number one, because let's face it, the club has never won the UEFA Cup, right? So it's a trophy that you're adding to the history of the club that you don't have. And then number two, guys, one thing that we haven't touched on is the club ranking coefficient. We've dropped from, I believe we were 7th or 8th place. We're now sitting at 21st, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, we need to get back our ranking coefficient. And you can't just prioritize competitions and say the Europa League is not important. So to me, to answer your question, it was a major disappointment.
Chris, you want to take a stab at this? For you, the highlight of Benfica's European campaign for you?
Well, since Tarap was not registered, definitely can't mention him. So I'll go with that as well. I think Benfica, not only fielding a bunch of kids from Seychelles, I believe an average age of 22 or whatever the hell it was at the time, having the guts to go on a road, playing with kids, and then getting Benfica's first ever victory in Turkey, I thought that was impressive. And also have an honorable mention to João Félix, is hat-trick at home.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all knew who he was, but I think the rest of Europe found out who he was that day.
I wanted to mention one more thing, guys. I don't know. Did you guys catch the Philippe Vieira interview today by any chance?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could talk a little bit about that. Philippe Vieira gave an interview, and I think one of the highlights was that he was going to do his damnest or his hardest not to lose any players this season.
Same. Which means they're all gone. Which means they're all gone. No, what I just wanted to mention, the reason I mentioned that is just the timing again. Like, there's no reason why we're four games to go in the league, such a big game coming up in 4 days, and this guy's coming out publicly and giving an interview. And I don't know if you guys mentioned as well, he kind of took a shot at Samaris, if you guys caught that or not. I just wanted to hear, obviously, everybody's thoughts.
I know you got to think for Samaris, Hugo. I know you got to think. But, he was asked about Samaris' renewal.
It's just the wrong timing, in my opinion.
I think, look, at this point, you got to keep your mouth shut and you got to let the team do its business on the field.
O Hugo não gosta de notícias fora de campo e depois vai falar notícias fora de campo.
Não é isso. What I'm saying is, again, right, the team should be all in on this objective right now. There's no reason why Vieira is coming out and giving Avola a chance to Avola o jogo and record the chance to put Vieira on the front cover with more declarações para incendiar ainda mais os ambientes. That's all I'm saying.
But incendiar, at the end of the day, he didn't really say anything to incendiar anything, Hugo. I mean, he talked about his own club. He did.
He took a shot at Samaris, right? Which the press is going to be all over that.
Okay, but look, he said what we all expected him to say.
Wrong timing for me.
I didn't expect him to say that, oh, yeah, we're going to sell it. Look, man, look, it is what it's noise. Newspapers have to sell their covers and have to sell their papers. At least Riviera has to come out and say something. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it was not. Maybe it was with the idea of sending a parting shot at the Samaris of the world. We don't know. There's plenty of rumors surrounding Samaris. I know you have a soft spot for Samaris, like many other people do, and he's been absolutely lights out since Lodge has stepped up and been named head coach of Benfica, and he deserves all the plaudits that he's been getting of late. But look, that stuff will be taken care of in an office somewhere. In due time. I'm not really too concerned with it. What I'm worried about is the game on Sunday, regardless of what the president says, regardless of what anybody says. And I think the one thing about Bruno Lage is that he'll have everyone focused in that locker room.
Yeah, so let me set the stage real quick. This is a Braga team that has not won a match against one of the big three. Having a chance to finally beat one of the big three teams in Benfica, coming to the Pedreira, playing in their stadium, they felt that this was a chance for them to redeem themselves especially from the, was it 6-2 at the Stadio de Luz earlier on in the season. And again, they're also fighting and chasing Sporting for that final third place, which gives you access to the Champions League pre-qualifiers, I believe, right?
No, they don't.
Third place doesn't give you pre-qualifiers?
Portugal hasn't scored enough points to get back there. So I think third place goes straight into an Europa League. Second place is the one that goes into the playoff, if I'm not mistaken, because we're behind in the coefficient as we speak.
We're behind Russia, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a very important game, and you could tell right away as soon as the game started, good atmosphere, limited Benfica supporters there, but still an outpour of support, especially with both the Vermelhão, which is the Benfica's bus, leaving Lisbon, an outpour of support by the fans being there. Also, the arrival in Vila Nova de Gaia, which is where Benfica stayed in the hotel prior to the game, an outpour of support there. Then arriving at the stadium, another outpour. So, but still, there was limited seats that were allocated to Benfica, as we discussed last week. But nonetheless, a very important support, and you could tell that the crowd was up for it. So Braga is definitely up for it with a point to prove. Started the game pressing Benfica very high intensity, trying not to let Benfica get comfortable. And Hugo, for those 15-20 minutes, it was nerve-wracking. Talk through what went through your mind during those 15-30 minutes.
Yeah, no, for sure. The first 15-20 minutes, I thought Benfica came out very flat. Braga really took the game to us. I think it had a lot to do with, obviously, Benfica, as a big team, does not like to be pressed high. And Braga started with a very high press. Sabino was leaners, as we say. And they really made life difficult for Benfica. And obviously, the icing on the cake was the goal at the half-hour mark of the game. And look, I really, aside from what I just mentioned that Braga did right, I think Benfica, I don't know if it was what you just touched on, Alfredo, all the outpouring of support, I'm sure that adds more pressure to the players. Maybe it doesn't, but all I know is Benfica was not themselves, in that first half. I think I made a joke with Cristiano, during the first half that, I mean, if Benfica players had diapers, they would have to be changed because they were shitting bricks, just like us during the game. But again, got to give credit to Braga, right? They executed their game plan to perfection in that first half. However, obviously, to keep that up for 90 minutes is unless you're in your top physical shape is practically impossible, and I think Benfica took advantage of that in the second half.
And I thought that Bruno Lage, again, as I mentioned, he does need time with these guys off the field, but at the same time, as I mentioned before, we criticize Rui Vitória plenty for not making in-game changes, in-game tactical decisions. And I thought Bruno Lage could have done that a little bit earlier. And I know it's a lot easier now, like, you know, whatever, just ignore it. They won the game and they had an impressive second half, and obviously Benfica's a totally different team based on whatever the hell, you know, told the players or whatever changes he made at the half. But I thought that he could have dealt with that pressure a lot earlier in the first half, which they didn't. And then Benfica, unfortunately enough, they went down 1-0. I know a lot of people are going to come here and call Ruben Dias a bruto, but like at that time, bro, like if he doesn't step in, he's going to shoot. It's a no-win situation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's a no-win situation right there. And, you know, obviously that was a foul. Clear foul. Penalty box, and they got, you know, they put it away. They got the penalty, put it away. But I thought that there was ways that Benfica could have dealt with that press in the first half, and I was disappointed they did. Braga came out like a wounded dog. I mean, obviously, you know, as you mentioned, the humiliation they went through at the start of the lose with the 6-2 defeat. And at the time, they were riding a very high wave. You know, a lot of people were claiming that, you know, or you know, touting them as a title contender at the time, and Benfica really put a dash in those hopes. And then so they come home and like, this is our opportunity to show everybody that game was a fluke. And they came out like a wounded dog. Their pride was hurt. They wanted to prove to everybody that game was a fluke. And look, credit to them. First half, they made every second count. And you saw that these guys are professional athletes. Obviously, there's a lot of noise outside the pitch of Braga breeding pernas and Braga's Benfica and all this noise. And I think that affects a player, man. When you're a professional player and you know that you're doing your very best to go out there and play the best of your capabilities, and then you hear these unfortunate accusations just because things don't go your way, I think these guys have a lot of pride, and they tried to show that to everybody else, and credit to them. And I think it did catch Benfica off guard. I thought Benfica thought they were going to be a little bit more reserved, considering the fact that Benfica scored 6 goals on them. To their credit, they came out totally different. And to Benfica's credit, they were able to adjust and make all the right decisions at the halftime. And then second half, Benfica, within the first 5 minutes, you could tell it was a totally different team. That first half, to me, it reminded me a lot of the match against the Frankfurt. It looked like Benfica was just a continuation of that game of not much intensity, obviously for different reasons. But it just seemed like
You know, the totally different team in the second half. Benfica really meant business.
This is the moment. This is the moment that Hugo steps in and tells you, "Look, I like Sferovic. He's helping Benfica. Mas não tem pinta para o Benfica." Go ahead, Hugo. I just stole this thunder, but go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that Sferovic is as advertised, right? You know, he's got the 19 goals this season, and I'm glad he does, right? Because I don't think we are where we are without his 19 goals. So let's give him credit. But if you look at Seferovic's career and his stats at Eintracht, his stats in Switzerland as well, I forget what club he initiated his pro career with. He's just not a natural finisher. He's a workhorse. He's a guy that's going to work for the Coletivo. But at the end of the day, he is just not, he doesn't have that killer instinct to put goals in the back of the net. Obviously, this one season is the one where he's been the most productive. But I think that's Seferovic, and we just have to expect that and know exactly what we have. And again, like I said, I do give him tons of credit this season for having a fantastic season to this point.
Yeah, and I remember seeing pictures of the press conference after that game where Rui Costa's absolute and Thiago Pinto are absolutely dejected by the result. And I don't think I've ever seen Rui Costa so sad in a press conference. And he was leaning against the wall, and he just had this look on his face. He was dejected.
Abençoada derrota.
Hey, don't say that, because there's people that have accused us of wanting Benfica to lose for Rui Vitória to be replaced. But yes, that was the straw that broke.
That was the one that Jardel headers, tries to clear it in. He headers it on goal, look like he didn't know. And then,
oh, it was a mess.
And then Rubin, I think it was like two on goals, right? Yeah. Something like that. It was like, I know one was definitely Jardel, and I forget who the second one was. But yeah, that game, I mean, taking us back to that moment in time, oof, to where we're at now. I mean, you went from total desperation, total dejection to now. I mean, you're three games away from winning the Campeonato. Who would have ever thunk it that Benfica could have had such a magnificent second half and, you know, had the opportunity to change things around? And, I mean, it's look, like you said, Vince swallowed the rot. If it wasn't for that, we might still be, you know, 8 points behind the leaders right now and really sucking this all in.
So here we are today live on YouTube on episode 325. Cristiano.
What's up?
32.
Uh-huh.
Plus five.
I dropped out 37. No, full of stomach. If I couldn't do that,
3-2 plus 5, 37.
37.
I swear we didn't plan that.
We timed it. We timed it perfectly. That's why we took those 2 weeks off a couple months ago. We timed it perfectly.
Anyway, look, probably not too much on the agenda tonight. We are going to be talking about, obviously, Benfica beating Santa Clara and wrapping up their 37th title.
Yeah, right. You beat Santa Clara. We picked up the 37th title in the team. I mean, you act like it's nonchalant. Like, yeah, look, you know, we got nothing to talk about. We only won the 37th.
Look, for sure, this is I want to say something before we start going and talking about this. And I think that you don't have to, but I think that there was a moment in the season where there was a lot of frustration on all of our parts, right? Cristiano and I and Dave, we were frustrated.
More than one moment.
And the reason the reason why we were so frustrated is because we knew that the talent was there. And if there was something that we didn't do is that we didn't give up on these players. We had a very strong opinion about the person who was leading them and the person that was putting them on the field and lining them up. But we never gave up on these players, because if we knew that these players really weren't that great, then we were probably discounted. Well, you know, we're not that great. The squad is not that deep. There's not that much talent. So the fact that we're 7 points down in the 17th jornada, whatever it is, maybe that's warranted, right? But knowing that we had the talent that we had at our disposal and how deep we were, it just created a lot of frustration for us.
A little bit of yes and no.
A little bit of yes and no.
A little bit of yes and no, because let's not forget, when Mr. Lodge did take over this team, we had a lot of question marks. A lot of guys were not playing up to their capabilities. We had no idea what we had in Ferro, what we had in Florentino. So, I mean, you're right. But there was also other players added to the roster after the change that made this roster a little bit deeper and a lot, you know, and a little bit stronger. We kind of got rid of some of the dead waste. And so, I mean, there's some of that. But at the same time, look, Benfica just was not playing well at the time. And so I'm guessing you're sending a message or you're responding to someone that said something that triggered this message from you, because you're normally one that doesn't send messages. And right now you felt that you had to take the time out to address something. So,
I'm
wondering as to where this comes
from. I think that this comes from, there was a lot of players and PT especially saying that they said we were dead. They said we were dead. And I know that probably that came a lot from the media, but I don't think there was a fan that really doubted the talent of this team. And I think that the frustration came most from knowing that the talent was there and we really didn't have somebody to lead us. So we had the Ferrari. If we could go to the Ferrari analogy that's been used so many times during the past reign. And now we just didn't have a driver.
I don't know about not believing in this team, but maybe there was some sabotage. Maybe the guy who shined the flashlight in Pineda's bedroom, maybe he's trying to sabotage the season. How about that? Is there any possibility of that? Dave, what do you think?
If he shone the light on Vieira, that would have been he would have wanted Vieira or Rui Vitória to be there, because when he saw the light, he went back on his word for firing him. So I think that guy wanted Rui Vitória to stay, but
sabotage.
Yeah, I guess, but sabotage would have been if he still wanted him there and to keep losing. But it all worked out for us with Bruno Lage. Yeah, somebody to take control of the Ferrari and somebody that knows how to drive manual and not automatic, because this guy really kicked it into gear for us this second half of the season.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, look, it was a tremendous turnaround. I don't really care about the Santa Clara game. Look, we won, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a breakdown, tune in to another podcast, another show, because at the end of the day, I don't care. We won. We were able to get the stamp on number 37. Not that any of us doubted at this point. I mean, Benfica had been playing terrific football and coming home against Santa Clara, a team that wants to be Benfica. Just look at their school. That should tell you enough. Even though they did play well, they came in with bad intentions, and Benfica did have to kind of weather the storm at the beginning of the game. But at the end of the day, this is a fantastic result. This is a fantastic ending to the season to a coach that came in and absolutely the face of what we call in America the franchise. He changed the club. He changed the mentality of the players. He injected some new blood. He got rid of some of the older guys, the guys that came in with high expectations that weren't either good enough or they could not live up to the weight and the pressure of wearing that Benfica shirt. And it's just been, like Dave said, the guy came in, drove that Ferrari all the way to the finish line, and it's been fantastic to see this club just put up the stats and put up victory after victory. Just look at his numbers. I'm pretty sure Dave will go over them in a little bit, but the guy dropped two points the whole second half in that miserable result at the Stadio de Luz after being up 2-0 against Bluminense. It was just a tremendous, tremendous turnaround by the boys and by Bruno Lage. And so, look, PZ, I know you're offended, and it is what it is, but the type of football you guys were playing, being 7 points behind a Porto that – forget about, you know, them playing exceptionally well, but they had every bounce go their way, every call go their way. Look, some people doubted you. At the end of the day, I'm glad you used that as motivation. I hope that helps you guys motivate yourself. And right now, it is what it is, man. You're standing at the podium. Have the Taça da Liga Nós, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was talking about, Alfredo.
No, he congratulated himself for having the courage to appoint Bruno Lage when... May I add?
I must have been busy jumping up and down and celebrating the title when you said that.
What a modest guy.
Yeah, and look, if we were looking at this, don't forget that there was a couple guys that were mentioned before even Bruno Lage took over.
Well, I mean, before that light was showing on his bedroom, all the rumors in the world was that JJ was the next coach of Benfica.
And in that light,
and then that light talks about Mourinho. And,
even with Lage taking over this team, there were still a couple of weeks there where he wasn't given the permanent role, and they were still, he'll be appointed. There'll be a new manager appointed by the end of the week, they kept winning, and he got his permanent role there.
It was like a good 4 or 5 games before they appointed him. I mean, escapes me right now. But look, guys. For anyone that wants to sit here and wants to criticize anyone that was critical of Benfica at the time, look, guys, it's not just a frustration of where Benfica was at that point in the season. You have to go back to the season prior to that when Benfica lost some very key players. They did not do a good job of bringing in the reinforcements to attack the Campeonato. You lose the Campeonato to Futebol Clube do Porto. You lose in the manner that you did in the Champions League. So it was a frustration of more so of what had happened in the last 3 months. It was more of what had happened in the season and a half prior. So I think, look, people were right to show their frustration and to be critical of the team. And that's what Benfica is. Benfica is always going to be critical when Benfica is not playing well. That's the sign of being a big club. You always expect and you always demand the very best from your club. And look, at the end of the day, whether it was the pressure from the fans that made the switch happen, whether it was the genius Luis Oliveira that decided to make the coaching change, whatever it was, it worked. And right now we should all be congratulating the club for doing so, congratulating whoever needs to be congratulated, whether, you know, it is Luis Oliveira, but somebody has to take credit. Lage has been exceptional. The players have been exceptional. I congratulate and I have – you know, I have a lot of positive things to say about Bruno Lage, not just because we won the 37, but I admire a coach that comes in and gives every player a clean slate. He recuperated a lot of guys and some oddities of the world. Tarap got to play a little bit of time. Tarap's a guy that was burned for the last 4.5 years. So when you bring in a coach with that attitude, it makes everyone work. It makes everyone believe that they have an opportunity to contribute at some point if they put in the work. And it's just, it's been so, so nice. And it's, you know, glad, you know, breath of fresh air to see a coach like this who comes in and speaks in football terms, but is not a negative and he doesn't want to attack other people. He doesn't want to send messages to people. I think it's so beautiful to see what's happened at Benfica. And I'm thrilled more than anything, that he's our head coach and that he's showing everyone. And he's an example to other coaches across the league. I mean, as you guys remember, Alfredo, there was no one. I think that called for JJ to return more than I did. I was ecstatic with the news that he was possibly coming back to replace Rui Vitória.
I think you might have predicted that too.
I might, and I was right until that line was shown in his room.
So, I think that's all I got. Cristiano, you got anything else?
Nothing else.
Dave?
Nope.
Follow Dave on Twitter, 87DO87. Cristiano at 10CO10.
I'm just glad we're back on camera and people are able to see our handsome faces. At least that's what my mom says. And it's good. It's good. It's good to be live. And I'm glad that all 753,000 of you tuned in. It's a pleasure.
500,000.
Everyone that was at the Marquez is tuning in live now.
Right now. And next week, bro, the awards. You gotta tune in for that
one. Yeah, you don't want to miss the awards for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week. Don't forget to check out BenficaIndependent.com for a lot of content on Benfica and throughout this offseason. We're there. We're going to try to contribute. If you want to write in English, let me know, and I'll make sure that you get
Send me a DM. Send me a DM. I'll tell you how to wire me some money.
Yeah, no.
No?
I'll people are looking for English content on Benfica Independent. There's German content. There's Portuguese content. French. There's French content. So we need to get that English content. So if you have a talent for writing and you like writing about Benfica, hit me up. I can get you in there. Anyway, that's all we got. Don't forget to check out, as I mentioned, Benfica.com, BenficaPodcast.com. Benfica.com also. I don't know if that's even a thing. At Benfica Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Thank you very much. Talk to you again next week. See you, everybody.
Peace.
Laters.
Ciao.